These are little teeny tiny. I'm going to use Roseanne and Rosanna Dana science here. little teeny tiny things. It's hard for us to even imagine how small a cell would be. The smallest cell that we can see in nature is an egg. But I could put 10 billion human cells inside that eggshell. Well, if we can even pretend that the dot at the end of a sentence was a cell, and actually inside that cell, inside that dot, I could put hundreds of thousands of cells. Inside that cell is something that it can exist in hundreds or thousands. In a really healthy teenager who's doing athletics, there could be several thousand mitochondria inside every cell. And in that 100-year-old person who is definitely slowing down and aging, there might only be 350 mitochondria inside the cell. The number depends on what you need the cell to do. So when you've got things like muscle cells that are producing a lot of energy, then we have a lot of mitochondria. We don't have those mitochondria in the blood. We don't have them in places that don't need loads of energy.
I think a really important little factoid, or an interesting one, is that about 10%, I believe, of our body weight in a normal person is mitochondria.
That's mind-blowing, isn't it?
10% of us is devoted to metabolism and creating energy.
It's our factory.
Yeah.
And so when we look at these mitochondria, if the cell isn't getting enough energy to survive, then more mitochondria can be created. And so this is one of the very first behavior shifts that I want to talk about. When you go out and exercise and the cell doesn't feel like it's getting enough energy, it'll actually create new mitochondria in the cell. So there is still no youth nutrient that is better for your body than exercise.
It is the fountain of youth.
Mitochondria have two membranes. Now, most organelles in the cell only have one membrane, and these two membranes are really important. The outer membrane covers the organelle. It contains it, just like that skin underneath the shell of the egg contains the cell of the egg. But then the inner membrane of the mitochondria folds back and forth and back and forth, kind of like an accordion. So it gives a huge amount of surface area, and the chemical reactions happen on the inner membrane of the mitochondria. And so it's just the same as you. If you have a lot of work to do, you need more room to work in. And so by folding this inner membrane back and forth and back and forth, we get more surface area to do the job. And then this whole membrane is filled with fluid, and that fluid is what we call the matrix. And so this matrix, which is filled with water and it's filled with enzymes, they take the molecules that you ate for breakfast and they combine them with oxygen. And it's really the only place where oxygen can be combined with food molecules. And the material is broken down and it gets turned into ATP, which is the energy that lets you blink your eyes, have a conversation, and walk across the room.
ATP, the energy molecule. This is how we contain energy that would otherwise burn us. It's actually a chemical that floats around in the body, and when it is actually utilized by, say, your biceps to lift up some object in your hand, the mitochondria actually have to then generate more ATP because the ATP will be used up. It cycles between AMP and ATP, and the pressure that gets put on the cell when you do some kind of exercise depletes that ATP, and then it sets into motion a whole set of enzymatic consequences that cause the cell to start making more. So you start burning more fuel and creating more ATP inside these mitochondria, which is the only place where we really do generate ATP that way.
And so when people come into my clinic, I don't know what percentage, doctor, that you have of people that complain about fatigue or tiredness or being pooped or whatever, but I would say it's probably at least 2 out of 3 people that come into my office.
I was thinking 70%.
Yeah, I'd like more energy. So how about this as a promised list? How about if we could give you information that could increase your energy and increase your exercise performance, reduce your body fat, improve your lean muscle mass, improve your cognitive function, slow down the rate that you deteriorate and increase your lifespan, and do that all at the same time. Well, I think we'd have a sale, don't you, doctor?
I don't think there's a problem there.
And so we can promise all of those things with a term that you're going to become familiar with this morning, mitochondrial biogenesis. How do we make more mitochondria? How do we make more energy inside the cell? And we're going to start out with one of my all-time favorite nutrients, and I know it's one of yours, and that's alpha-lipoic acid.
Alpha-lipoic acid. It's an organic acid that is one of the best antioxidants known to man, essentially. It regenerates many of our internal antioxidant systems. It helps to turn vitamin C from an oxidized vitamin C, which is no longer effective, back into reduced vitamin C. It helps with doing that with vitamin E through glutathione. It regenerates glutathione, our body's most potent and multifunctional antioxidant detox agent. And it's just one of the best things you could possibly take.
Well, we got to back up one more step, because before we know all of the things that our alpha-lipoic acid is good for, we have to understand what's actually hurting the cell, and we call it oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is what actually causes cellular damage. So we hear these terms like free radical, and no, that isn't a wild-haired hippie from Berkeley. We talk about free radicals. We talk about, well, maybe you don't, but we certainly do in the holistic community, talk about reactive oxygen species. You know, you put that piece of iron artwork out in the yard, and over time, that iron interacts with the oxygen that's in the air. And the acids that are in the air, and we actually react that iron and create rust. And so the iron itself can break down into a pile of dust. And, you know, that's a pretty good metaphor for talking about what's going on in the body when we have too many of these reactive oxygen species, ROSs, or just shorten their name and call them free radicals. Free radicals, back in 1956, Denham Harmon was the first research physician that really began to point out to us that these oxidative stress agents are what promote the aging of the body. And so it was called the free radical theory of aging, that the more free radicals that we had in our body, the faster the body would age. And all of the research that's been done in the 55 years since then has verified that that's true.
Yeah, the free radicals cause our bodies to rust, essentially. The consequences of having the excess free radicals on board are that the proteins in our body begin to denature, just like when you cook an egg and the beautiful clear albumin in the egg white turns white. That's exactly what happens in our body. An example of that is cataracts. Oxidative damage turns our cataracts opaque, or turns our lenses opaque. That's damage to the proteins.
It's like cooking the egg.
It's like cooking the egg. It's free radical stress on the protein. It happens in lipids. It happens in sugars. We get things called advanced glycosylation end products, where a sugar tags a protein and causes that to denature.
But let's stop right there and let's make those two real, just like you made the cataract real.
Yes.
You know, have you ever gotten that thing in the mail that says if you have age spots on your skin, you have age spots on your brain? It's a postcard that's
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I saved it for years, but it was one of those promotions, you know, for some sort of product.
Right.
And it showed this aged woman with all of these brown spots all over her hand. And, you know, we used to call them age spots or liver spots.
Right.
And it said, if you've got these age spots on your hands, you've got these age spots on your brain. And those are...
That's a great analogy.
Age. A-G-E.
Advanced glycosylation end product.
So think about making a loaf of bread. If you've ever made bread, you know that the dough is uniform all the way through it. You let it rise, you punched it down, you let it rise again, you put it in the pan. You stuck it in the oven. And the bread cooked, but it's got two parts. It's got a crust and it's got a soft inside. And yet, they're both made out of exactly the same thing. But the outside of the bread aged.
Exactly.
It developed these advanced glucose-related molecules that caused it to turn brown.
Right. Glycation is glucose attaching to a protein.
And so when we hook a glucose to a protein, essentially we have burnt sugar. And that's what the outside of the bread is.
One big age spot.
One great big age spot. And then the inside is all nice and soft and doughy, but the outside is solid and hard and crispy and darker.
Exactly.
And so that's exactly what ages are. And so when we talk about the fact that free radicals can take a protein and make a protein rigid, you know, you take a liquid egg, you put it in a fry pan, you can turn it into a Frisbee if you leave it in there long enough. You can take a nice flexible steak and you can put it on a grill and you can cook it so long you turn it into a shoe. Because the proteins get harder, 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 tougher, 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 more interlocked with each other, and thereby less able to function.
Right. Unflexible proteins in your body don't do the functions that they need to be doing.
Exactly. And so then unflexible carbohydrates, glucose, they get stiff, they get rigid, and they get brown.
Right.
And so not only do you get age spots on the back of your hand, but exactly right. You get age spots everywhere else in your body. And then when we look at what happens to fats.
That's the scary one.
Ooh, that's the scariest of all. Rancid fats. Ooh, ooh.
Have you ever tasted one of those nuts that you pop in your mouth and you want to just spit immediately out?
It's so disgusting you can't stand it. Well, that's rancid fat. And I'm sorry to tell you that as we age, that's exactly what happens to the place in our body that has the greatest amount of fat. No, that isn't what you're sitting on. It's your brain. Your brain is made out of fat. And we don't want to put rancid fat and brain all together in one sentence, that's for sure, because then we would be talking about Washington, D.C. We would be talking about our Congress, speaking of rancid fats. Oh, sorry, that was a political comment.
Got to stay away from that.
So the thing is that we actually rancidify as we age, as disgusting as that is. And so the reason that you want to stop free radical damage is you don't want the cataracts, you don't want the brown spots, and you don't want a rancid brain.
The thing is about this metabolic powerhouse, the mitochondria, is it is the principal source for free radical generation and damage in our body.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We have to make bad molecules to make good molecules.
Yes, it's the only way. Got to do some burning. And when there's smoke, there's fire. And so in the mitochondria, we generate lots of free radicals. And to protect against that, the mitochondria has a huge array of antioxidant defense mechanisms. Actually, the cell does. The mitochondria is rather poor in those defense mechanisms, and so they're very vulnerable to damage by these free radicals.
But then the cell can mop up some of these free radicals. So you've heard of antioxidants. Well, if you have a reactive oxidation taking place, then antioxidants are what stop that free radical damage on a molecule by molecule basis. And so virtually anybody on the street you can interview and say, do you know what an antioxidant is? And they're going to say vitamin C, vitamin E. They'll at least know those two things.
Right.
You already knew those two things, but they may not know about other antioxidants, especially ones that have a multimodal action, that have effect across a very wide variety of chemical processes that go on in the body. And that's where we come to our buddy alpha-lipoic acid.
Right.
Alpha-lipoic acid, and don't let the word acid scare you. Remember, acids are necessary for all sorts of processes in the body.
Well, every fat that you eat is actually a fatty acid.
That's exactly right. So when we look at alpha-lipoic acid is kind of a two-faced acid because some antioxidants work in the liquids of your body, like your blood or like the water that's inside your cell. And that would example of that would be something like vitamin C. Vitamin C is an antioxidant that gives up its electron to a free radical in the watery material in your cell. But then we also have antioxidants like vitamin E that neutralize free radicals that take place in the fats of the body. So we have water-soluble antioxidants and we have fat-soluble antioxidants. And alpha-lipoic acid is a two-faced antioxidant. It's one of the only compounds that I'm aware of that actually is both water-soluble and fat-soluble. And so as a result, it can work in both of the compartments that exist in your body.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason it's so powerful and so effective all over, because it can help reduce the level of oxidized fats and also of the AGE products and of denatured proteins even.
So we've got an extremely effective intercellular antioxidant in alpha-lipoic acid, and we enhance the intercellular glutathione level. Now, we've talked about glutathione before here on the show, and what's true is, for the most part, you just can't go to the vitamin store and pick up a bottle of glutathione and start taking it, because glutathione is a tripeptide. That means it's got three amino acids hooked together as friends. It's not a protein. Proteins are great, big, huge molecules. There's usually 100 or more amino acids that are hooked together to make a protein. So it's not a single amino acid. It's not a great big complex protein. It's in between, three amino acids hooked together. But this molecule, glutathione, is the single most powerful antioxidant that exists.
It is a intermediary in so many different areas of the body, and it is used as a donor for detoxification in the liver. So in addition to being an antioxidant, it actually functions to help get rid of the heavy metal toxins and other toxins in the body.
Well, you know, Dr. Harvey and I both work with an HIV support group. My HIV support group meets the first Tuesday of every month at Church of the Trinity on North Lockwood Ridge Road. I've been director of this support group. It's called Healthy PWA, Healthy People with AIDS, this being my 20th year doing it. And when we first started in having this support group, what we found out is that if you measured the glutathione levels of the people that were infected with HIV, the single greatest predictor of their survival was their glutathione levels.
That makes a lot of sense, because without that intracellular defense, cells are very vulnerable to death, basically.
And then we talked about cataracts, and I have to tell you, I don't even want to know how they do this study, but they actually measured the amount of glutathione in somebody's eye, and they found out that the higher the glutathione in the eye, the lower the chance was that the person would ever get a cataract. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're protecting your body from a sunburn, protecting your body from eating a bad burger, protecting your body from anything. The more glutathione you have in your body, the better off you are.
Ways to increase that glutathione are to ingest a little bit of alpha-lipoic acid.
Absolutely. And so alpha-lipoic acid is also an anti-inflammatory. It reduces a molecule in the body called NF-kappa-B, which is a very important inflammatory molecule. So it doesn't matter whether your inflammation is in your brain as Parkinson's, or in your skin as psoriasis, or in your joint as arthritis. Any place that you have inflammation, alpha-lipoic acid is going to start to take it down.
The free radical theory of inflammation and damage is kind of, there was a really good description that the docs gave us yesterday about the different tiers and stages of that. And in tier one, before you actually get to inflammation, you have the free radical damage occurring, and that's when some of the original intracellular defense mechanisms start to kick in. And alpha-lipoic acid intervenes if that system doesn't work well. Alpha-lipoic acid can block it from going to the next level, because the next level is when NF-kappa-B kicks in and starts actually damaging the cell. It's a kind of a maladaptive mechanism, because nuclear factor kappa-B induces things that actually are dangerous to the cell as a defense against what's going on in the body. It's a response to stress, but quite often stress is inappropriate. Things that I see as inappropriate stress inducers are the amount of sugar that we eat in our diet.
And wasn't that a fascinating slide that they put up yesterday that showed an absolute and direct correlation between the amount of sugar that is consumed in the United States and the rate of diabetes?
Yeah, that was shocking. I had never seen that slide.
You know, when I was on WMNF a couple of weeks ago, because you know I do that show over there at 11 o'clock every other Monday.
Today.
And yeah, today. Jump in the car and race to Tampa. But I had a gal that called up in the show, and she said, oh, well, they've disproved that the eating of sugar is related to diabetes, that if you eat a lot of sugar, that isn't what causes diabetes.
What planet does she live on?
Well, clearly the planet of the American Dietetic Association.
Political comments.
But in any event, you can't say it on a one-by-one basis. You know, you're going to have Uncle Phil, and Uncle Phil has been sucking down a box of chocolate every day for 85 years, and he doesn't have diabetes. And so you're going to say, well, see, that proves that sugar doesn't cause diabetes.
Right.
But the thing that I thought that was astounding about that slide was seeing the exact correlation between the incident of diabetes and the amount of pounds of sugar sold.
Exactly parallel.
I know. They were exactly parallel. So it may not be on a one-by-one basis, but it's certainly on a national basis that the more sugar we eat, the more diabetes we create. And this is another place that alpha-lipoic acid comes to the party, because it improves insulin sensitivity. It allows your body to utilize sugar more effectively.
Yeah, it allows us to burn the sugar instead of, or actually, really, to let us take the sugar into the cells rather than having it sit in the blood where it's causing damage to all of our tissues.
So when we get back here to alpha-lipoic acid, alpha-lipoic acid has been used historically for all sorts of things. And one of the things that it's used for is liver disease. So when people have cirrhosis of the liver, pardon me, whether that cirrhosis is created by alcoholic liver disease or whether that cirrhosis is caused by food sensitivities. I've seen cirrhotic livers in individuals who were allergic to gluten,
yes,
as an example. Or whether the liver has been subjected to some kind of poisoning, most notably mushroom poisoning. When I lived out in Flagstaff and Sedona, there are mushrooms that grow there called Amanita mushrooms, and they look exactly like a non-harmful mushroom. Amanitas are highly poisonous, and the difference is when you turn the mushroom over, one of them has pores underneath and the other one has gills underneath. And so when people mistakenly take the bad mushroom instead of the good mushroom, they've got a matter of hours to live unless they receive therapy immediately. And one of the things that's used is IV alpha-lipoic acid.
I mean, it's one of the only substances we know that can be that effective at shutting down a dying liver problem.
And so the thing is, you don't have to have Amanita poisoning, and you don't have to have a cirrhotic alcohol liver disease. You can have alpha-lipoic acid improve the function of your liver, because as long as we keep living in a dirty world, you better have as good a working liver as you possibly can, because it's the only thing that can save you from a dirty world.
So true.
Alpha-lipoic acid can protect you against radiation. So whether you're taking a vacation in Japan at the wrong time, or you just happen to be getting a CT scan, whether you're laying out in the sun or you live next door to an electrical transformer, the circumstances are that alpha-lipoic acid will help to protect against radiation damage.
And it helps with many other conditions. So many people are on pharmaceutical medications. There's evidence that it helps with preventing chemotherapy drug
toxicity.
And because of its nature, it would help to metabolize most of the other pharmaceuticals that you have on board, or at least help to prevent damage from free radical generation from metabolizing those synthetic chemicals.
Yeah, absolutely. And in any kind of neurological or neurodegenerative disease, anything from multiple sclerosis to Parkinson's to Alzheimer's, all of these things are things that alpha-lipoic acid can work.
One of the interesting studies that we saw was in polycystic ovary syndrome. Women who have this condition are highly insulin resistant, and it can actually reverse that for them. And they have a genetic issue with it and not just a sugar issue, which is what most people with the metabolic syndrome and insulin resistance, that's where theirs is derived from. But this is a genetic consequence, but alpha-lipoic acid can turn it around.
Well, and let's bring alpha-lipoic acid into something that has more to do with you, because maybe you're saying, well, that doesn't do me any good because I don't have liver disease or MS or Parkinson's or polycystic ovaries. But what's true is that just having triglycerides that are too high, when you get your blood tested and you do a fasting test and they check your cholesterol and your HDL and your LDL, they check your triglycerides, and we absolutely do not want a number over 150. So when people have hypertriglyceridemia, then alpha-lipoic acid will help to change the cell membrane over time, and as a result, not only improve the total lipid profile, but improve the actual way that the cell is going to use fuel. So that's the improvement in insulin sensitivity, and as a result, it lowers plasma glucose. And for that reason, it is the number one supplement that a diabetic should be using.
Yes. I've watched numerous diabetics who have already had the damage from high sugar getting neuropathy in their feet, where they have intense burning pain. And after 3 months of taking 1,200 milligrams a day of alpha-lipoic acid, the burning pain is gone.
Yeah, it's really astounding to see the changes that can happen with ALA, as we call it. The nature of lowering blood pressure is another benefit that we see from alpha-lipoic acid. They showed a study yesterday in the class where the belly fat, the stuff that the television calls cortisol fat, around the middle, we call it VAT, visceral adipose tissue, as opposed to fat, that we actually can, with nothing changed in the diet, just the addition of alpha-lipoic acid, actually reduce the amount of belly fat and increase the amount of lean muscle mass.
Yeah, changing the lean muscle mass is also a function of mitochondrial biogenesis, because if you have more mitochondria being produced by the cells to make more energy, they also have more energy to divide, and so you'll actually be able to increase, even increasing the mitochondrial mass in the cells increases the mass of the tissue. So you'll build lean body mass, and that will make your metabolism more efficient, give you more energy, and help you burn sugar more, thus eliminating a whole potential long-term consequence of diabetes. You'll change that whole equation.
But, you know, the thing that I learned about ALA when I first started studying it was that alpha-lipoic acid doesn't last very long in the cell. When you take a pill of alpha-lipoic acid, your blood level goes up. It stays up for 20 minutes or an hour, and then it just drops right back down again. And so the reason for using time-released alpha-lipoic acid is so that you get a higher blood level longer. They discovered this by doing the IV alpha-lipoic acid, that the longer we can keep the blood level elevated, the better the defense we give the body. And we see that especially in terms of the lining of all of the arteries. You know, as the cholesterol myth continues to be busted, meaning cholesterol is not the enemy in heart disease, the enemy in heart disease is inflammation.
And the inflammation comes from oxidized, specifically oxidized cholesterol, LDL cholesterol particles.
The lousy one.
The lousy one. And the reason it's a problem is that oxidized LDL is rancid fat. Rancid fat is very inflammatory. It induces the changes that go on in the plaque in the artery. When you develop coronary artery disease, it's not because of cholesterol. Cholesterol is not the answer. It's the oxidized LDL cholesterol that... Have you ever had soap in your eye?
Ow.
That's kind of like what oxidized LDL is like on the inside of your blood vessels. Soap in your blood vessels. Well, it has the property to actually kill the cells, the endothelial cells, the ones that line all of your blood vessels. That's how the whole process gets started. It's so toxic that it will just destroy the lining of your blood vessels.
And so alpha-lipoic acid improves the endothelial function, and so as a result, it protects you against heart disease. So any kind of coronary, does it sound like we're talking about Mother Fletcher's snake oil here?
I mean, it does.
Doesn't it sound like, well, yeah, if you order this today, you're going to get some free Jinsu knives?
Well, I was just thinking about that because, you know, there's a lot of marketing of these doctors' weight loss programs kind of things where you go in and get your prescription for amphetamine analogs and your B12 shots. Amphetamines rev up your metabolism and make you crazy. I mean, there's really no good use for them in
the human
body.
There's one good use. You ask any woman who's been on diet pills, she'll tell you her kitchen was clean.
Oh, there you go. But what's really interesting is, and I don't want to promote fad diets, but alpha-lipoic acid is probably the best fad diet pill. I hate to say it that way, but it is the only thing I know of that actually increases AMPK, which is an enzyme, and I'll get into that in a second. It increases it in the periphery, but it decreases it in the brain. What this means is that this molecule has a couple of functions. In the periphery, it helps you burn your fuel. So if you increase that, you increase your metabolism and get rid of the fat, essentially. But in the brain, if you turn it down, you actually have satiety. You don't crave food anymore. It actually takes
it does lower your appetite.
It takes your appetite away and increases your metabolism.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. When I started taking alpha lipoic acid, first thing in the morning, as soon as I was out of the bed, didn't wait for the breakfast, just put it on the nightstand, and the second your feet hit the floor, pop that ALA in your mouth. All of a sudden, you find out that it doesn't take as much food to satisfy you.
It's true. I found that too.
We have factors that promote health and longevity. And it's certainly true that exercise is the very biggest part of that, that promotes health and longevity. There's no question about the fact that reducing stress and thinking positive can promote health and longevity. Pursuing healthy relationships and being involved in your community promotes health and longevity. Doing things that make you happy promote health and longevity. But the one that I hate is calorie restriction. Tell me, oh, if you restrict your calories, you'll live forever, and the idea is who wants to?
Yeah, really. Without all those good foods, what's the point?
Right. And so calorie restriction can be duplicated, essentially, when we're using things like alpha lipoic acid and when we're using things like resveratrol. Resveratrol that everybody's heard about that's in red wine, but I'm sorry to tell you that a glass of red wine only has 1 milligram of resveratrol in it. And that's if it's the good wine that's high in resveratrol, like Pinot Noir wines. What we're beginning to understand is that when we put alpha lipoic acid and resveratrol together, they act in the body like calorie restriction and exercise.
Yeah, they induce the same enzyme systems that kick in when we starve ourselves or when we exercise. Intracellular defense mechanisms that...
Well, let's be careful with the starve ourselves line, because calorie restriction is not starving ourselves.
Well, this is true.
It for sure is saying no desserts.
Exactly.
But it's also...
It's really the appropriate calorie restriction is to basically eliminate added sugar for a principle.
Start there.
And you can add then added saturated fats to your food. Those two things could go away easily.
Yeah, and let's put corn syrup in that list, high fructose corn syrup.
Sure, but that's part of the sugar thing. If we could just get rid of high fructose corn syrup, would eliminate probably 50% of sugar consumption in America. If we just got rid of those
stupid. Well, I just want to remind people, because you know
beverages.
What those con games that the corn people are doing now. You know, the corn people are coming out and putting out ads that are saying, oh, high fructose corn syrup is just exactly the same as sugar, so there's no problem at all.
But
wrong.
Added fructose is one of the principal causes of the increase in diabetes, because that's where a vast amount of our sugar consumption increase has occurred in this country.
Well, and the thing that we want to understand is that high fructose corn syrup. Now, we're not talking about the fruit that was in the blueberries and the peach you had for breakfast.
Right.
We're not talking about that volume. We're talking about sweetened beverages. When we're drinking cans of pop, and remember, the average consumption of soda pop in the United States is 2 cans per person per day. So if you don't drink 2 cans, doctor, and I don't drink 2 cans, that means somebody's drinking 6 cans.
That's right.
And they're setting themselves absolutely on a road for diabetes.
Yeah, and the difference is that fructose and glucose metabolism and fructose and sucrose metabolism, you know, table sugar is sucrose, it's very different. Fructose metabolism uses a completely different pathway that actually puts an extra layer of oxidative stress on the body, creating a higher incidence of potential for diabetes.
And we're seeing it with the obesity in children. I mean, my husband and I went and had dinner on our way to Tampa on Saturday night, and we were sitting at a table, and there was a 3-year-old child at the end of the table that had the biggest glass of soda pop that they sold. I mean, it was those things like the, it looked like a bucket.
Yes.
And the 3-year-old couldn't lift it.
That's called child abuse.
Yeah, he put both hands around the great big cup. And during the time that we were there eating dinner, you know, drank that whole thing. And I would say it was 3 cups. It was definitely more than a pint in there.
Yes.
And there were 4 other children at the table that were aged probably 7, 9, 11. And they were all doing the same thing. But the thing is that the 3-year-old got the same size soda pop as the 11-year-old did. And certainly the 11-year-old didn't need it either.
Right.
But, you know, by the time that that kid was done, not only had he gotten a toxic amount of caffeine.
Exactly.
But he'd also gotten enough high fructose corn syrup in there to start him on the road to insulin resistance.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not diabetes or type 2 diabetes. The adult onset due to a variety of different stresses is not a sugar disease. It's actually a disease of inflammation. Ingestion of the sugar causes inflammation in the body. The oxidative stress destroys the ability to deal with sugar and insulin appropriately, and that's the crucial problem. It's not actually just the sugar intake. It's actually the consequences of it, that it how it destroys
the inflammation
the body.
Created the inflammation. By eating the sugar.
Exactly.
And so when we look at this combination of alpha-lipoic acid and resveratrol, the resveratrol, you know, has been known for some period of time as an antioxidant, as an anti-inflammatory, that it's cardioprotective, especially in the nature of the blood flow. It's got anti-cancer activities, has been demonstrated at least in rodents. It changes how the brain deteriorates, it improves exercise performance, and it delays age-related deterioration. So, you know, I never thought that I was going to come to a point that I could say, oh, yes, there is a pill to slow aging. You know, I always wanted to buy into the idea that there's the perfect diet, the perfect behaviors, the perfect exercise, but you could do all sorts of things with a nutraceutical to help improve a function of the body, but that you couldn't actually slow the aging process. And I'm here to say I was wrong. If somebody took alpha-lipoic acid and resveratrol every day, they absolutely, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, are going to slow the aging process in that body.
There's no question about that. We know the biochemical effects of it. We know what those biochemical effects do for the body. They increase our survival genes. They decrease our aging genes. And we have a net fountain of youth.
Yeah, but you know, I see these people around town here, and some of them are physicians, and they have the anti-aging clinics, which I always thought was an oxymoron. You
right.
know, it should be called healthy aging. But their fundamental focus is let's jack up the hormones. Let's make your hormones like they were when you were 30 years old. And that actually is not only not slowing the aging process.
It may actually accelerate.
It may accelerate the aging process. And so when we look at increased mitochondrial biogenesis, the ability for you to make more mitochondria in your cell, number one, can be done with exercise.
Absolutely.
Number two?
Alpha-lipoic acid.
Number three?
Caloric restriction.
Meep. We're going to be hesitant about wanting to endorse calorie restriction just because we love to eat. But if we want, but if we want to get the effect of calorie restriction, then that combination of alpha-lipoic acid together with resveratrol definitely can help.
Well, I think there's a fine line there. There's no human evidence yet about how much caloric restriction is necessary to actually extend a human life. We have the
That's
dog
true.
Studies. We have the rat studies. We have primate studies in progress. I don't think we have results from them yet.
No, we don't.
So
no, but they're looking good.
They're looking good. But the thing is, do we need? I mean, the current like vogue is about a 30% from what's apparently the RDA for calories. A 30% reduction is what many people seem to be following. But is that truly necessary? It seems to me though that most Americans are doing 30% more calories than they need. Why don't we look at caloric restriction down to what's needed and not below that?
Yeah. Yeah, just take out the soda pop and the chips. We don't have to go much further than that.
Yeah, reasonable caloric restriction and adding these other things in, which we've talked about today, really is a way of doubling the effect.
So today, Dr. Harvey and I, we're all about metabolic function. We want to increase your energy level, increase your exercise performance, decrease your body fat, increase your lean muscle mass, increase your cognitive function, and reduce the age-related deterioration. And maybe, as a result, we can actually increase not only good function, but increase lifespan. Dr. Harvey, is always a pleasure to have you here on No Nonsense Nutrition.
Always great to be here.
And, you know, this is Monday, and so this is the alternate Monday when I'm going to be on WMNF at 11 o'clock. So if you want to, you can hear me twice. And remember to turn your friends on to the fact that public radio, both in Sarasota and in Tampa and all over the world, is non-commercial, listener-supported radio. It's radio where we listen to you. And so when we look at the nature of the Sarasota community, that's what WSLR is all about, is trying to serve the Sarasota community. You know, this is Eve Prang-Plues. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor. I've been in practice here in Sarasota for over 20 years and always trying to give you information about ways to make you healthier. And I think that Dr. Fred Harvey and I have done that today because we've helped you to understand that there are two supplements out there in the marketplace, resveratrol and alpha lipoic acid, that may have the most magic for not only improving your function, but actually extending your life.